Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Today I'm happy to say that we continue our beloved biblical Bible book tour. Every day we make decisions like what to wear and what to eat. Many small and forgotten choices with results sometimes bitter, sometimes sweet. So from the small and forgotten choices to the decisions vital and far-reaching. Where to live, whom to marry, and will we build a character upon sound Bible teaching? With that said, before we delve deep into Haggai's brilliant book, we are going to look at a few examples of crucial choices by movie characters which they took. Firstly, it's which pill to swallow for curious searching Neo, the inquisitive Matrix man. So sick of mindless living, he's ready to break out of the bogus world of a red pill plan. Next, it's a tougher pill to swallow, knowing that Rose could have shared the floating door with Jack. And there was no need for him to die in cold Titanic waters, cue hypothermia and fade to black. It's three watery choices all around, and Mayor Larry decides to keep the beaches open without a second thought or pause. For tourism was good for the town's economy, even though playful puppy Pippet will be devoured by hungry jaws. From the loss of a beloved Pippet pet, to the gaining of a gigantic Jurassic creatures, with scientists so preoccupied whether they could create, they don't stop to think if they should features. Transported from the dinosaur age into the story of the Lord of the Rings. Why did the Fellowship decide to walk to Mount Doom when they could have ridden over it with eagle wings? From those interesting movie choices that make their stories more dramatic and jerking. It's into the book of Haggai we travel to see why God's people are not busy building or working. Right from the get-go, it's a call to rebuild the Lord's holy dwelling. Darius has freed the exiles, and it's a promised land return for the people of rebelling. The Lord of hosts speaks and says the people are also speaking a lot, announcing that the time is not right to build upon the vacant temple plot. The biblical plot deepens, and the Lord asks them to consider their wrong decision about how their homes are fully decorated while God's house lies in a loss of empty vision. With men who are alert to their own needs, but blind to the holy God calling. Plush wooden walls in human homes furnished, while into decay the Lord's temple is falling. Procrastination in every age, why do today what you can do much later? So the consequences of indifference strike, these people who consider not their holy creator. By cheating God, his people were really cheating themselves, and are slow to learn the reason for their low supplies and empty shelves. God's people have well nice houses, but things weren't going well. They were losing interest in God's interests, while slowly sinking under a vanity spell. Picture a lean harvest reaped, times are tough with never enough. So this Israel population may have elegant houses, but are feeling really spiritual rough. As they earn their wages, they hide it in a backsliding bag, which has huge holes, gigantic. So these godless people are clothed but can't keep warm, and it's driving them distraught and frantic. Second time asked by God to consider their choices and godless ways. Apparently they didn't mind the Lord not living among them in these far off nearing days. Truly the early bird catches the worm, and the people are instructed to go up into the hills, to get busy in lumber and tree cutting, and develop some stone rolling and moving log skills. They are not going to move themselves those materials which you need to construct and build a temple home that God will take pleasure in, to be much glorified and wholly thrilled. Yes, the real reason behind your lacking is that upon your own ways you is a snacking. The Lord's house lies in much waste because God's people are comfortable, idle and slacking. Therefore bronze are the heavens and iron replaces the earth. It's desperate times for an unfocused people who have forgotten their God calling and worth. A drought upon the land, corn and cattle are starvation affected. Yet crops are not the only thing that didn't mature. Haggai is talking of people in disobedience detected. To obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken better than the fat of sheep. So it's a new beginning for God's people as Haggai rouses them from their sinful sleep. Obedience and healthy fear before the Lord they start to walk and live. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, whose hard work and example he does his people give. Breathing life back into empty embers, the flames of faith have sadly burnt flats. But now all of the people gather with holy high-vis vests on, and get constructing with hard-working worship hats. So from sweat rolling down the brow to the people rolling up their sleeve, here endeth Haggai chapter 1 with the people who do God believe. It's all lights, camera, action as we enter Haggai chapter 2. And the temple is built up, and from the foundation in faith it quickly grew. Hard work paying off, from God comes much comfort and concern. Next, the word of the Lord returns again, telling Haggai to the governor of Judah to diligently turn. A question and a query given over next to the Israel people. Who is left among you who saw Solomon's glorious temple steeple? The audience is thinking it, but Haggai lets it all out, remembering the old timers wept and howled, while the youngsters with joy did shout. Look at this little temple, are such comments around disappointed minds swelling. Thinking compared to Solomon's version, this building is a poor let down dwelling. But ignoring those wet blankets, the Lord steers everyone to be strong and robust. For I am the Lord of hosts, I'm with you. In me place your total trust. Well, there's always more to do. God says he's always active and all-knowing. And in a little while the heavens and the earth will feel a biblical shaking and a showing. The silver is mine and the gold is too, saith the Lord of hosts, who's making man anew. Back to this building, a time to forget the former glory and look to the future unfolding. It's going to be filled with the peace of God. In Christ man will be holiness beholding. Unclean versus holy is Haggai's next pressing issue. And it's clear that man's defilement can't be wiped away with an untrue tissue. Holiness is not catching, but being bad is in humanity's blood. So it's an observing object lesson that Israel is as dirty as murky mud. The ways of sin are manifold, but the path to holiness one. So God blasted them with mildew and hail. In their labours, subtraction was spun. Yet with all the results reaped, to God they never turned. They failed to learn from that day that holiness can't be earned. No grain within the barn, vine and branches shared no delicious fruit. God withheld his blessings to his people, because to him they remained deaf and mute. But a new harvest to reap for a people of returned holy vision, and the land offers up much fruit, like olive and pomegranate provision. Again the word of the Lord arrives in the fourth month of the temple being built, with a message to speak to Judah governor about God shaking the heavens while making the earth tilt. God's overthrowing and toppling puffed up thrones of human domain. So Haggai is quickly coming to the end of this book of construction, blood, sweat and pain. Haggai is showing clearly that God's estimate is very different to man's. From how we build to how we live, and how we follow high and holy plans. God's bringing an extreme makeover to the people of this book, along with many choices to make, peace and stable or war and shook. Haggai is predicting that combat chariots, war horses and godless riders will be defeated. And the penman finishes his biblical book with a signet sign symbol in Christ completed. The next time we meet like this is the book of Zechariah to interview. But before we leave Haggai behind, let's rewind and review. Yes, Haggai's not dipping a toe in the Bible, but it's taking a total deep dive, placing God at the centre of our lives because he's the only way to thrive. This prophet's giving a rallying cry to run rapidly and a prep talk to promptly pursue, recommending building a life upon the living word, becoming a construction in Christ brand new. The most important part of any build is having a solid and stable base. And the Bible is a bedrock of biblical truth, a foundation of awesome and amazing grace. With the raw materials of Holy Scripture, Haggai is encouraging every reader to get going. His book's an object lesson of decision making. God's people and nice houses it's showing. But nobody's saying that you can't have nice and lovely things. Just don't allow them to distract you from what the Bible God does brings. No more wondering what God is like. Scripture's showing his character clear. That Jesus is the desire of ages, God's true temple in him doth appear. Haggai is a right hard worker and a divine God devotee, and he's freely holding out a helping hand, showing salvation choices for all to see. Back then God's people were building with biblical wood and stone, yet today we are using the timeless truth that Christ does sinner atone. Give him a whole enchilada, Haggai is not doing any corner cutting. Trust and obedience he's promoting, first place to God be put in. Seek ye first the kingdom of God is the ready phrase upon Haggai's tongue. Knowing God's ready to invest into guilty people, separating sins from both the old and the young. So carving out time with God while being changed by what we Bible learn. God's word woven into our lives from accepting a choice to Christ to turn. Better with every reading, Haggai simply explains it all. God's working within a man's insides, new heart and spirit install. And if you like that, you're really going to love what's next. Haggai is laser focused upon the living God. Spiritual grey matter is Bible flexed. New holy thoughts to follow, important decisions to be selected. Haggai is a book for building new beginnings in the image of God surrendered and perfected. So practice makes progress, and for us Haggai is finishing with a Christ final choice. Are we ready to rebuild with our Redeemer, learning and listening to his loving voice? Well, the answer to this question, I have no clue. I guess I will leave that up to you.